not to fight the battle alone. He's already won. Welcome to the last Sunday in 2024. Wow. Time is flying and we're ready for the new year and the blessing. Just a reminder, the next 3 out of the 4 weeks, Sheila's going to be with us and we'll be doing some more traditional hymns. We'll do some contemporary to start, but we'll be working on some hymns through that. But we're going to worship the Lord today and praise His name.
Seated for just
a moment. Well, let's see. Christ's birthday offering. Well, we took it out Christmas Eve. The offering plate is in the back. We're not going to have you walk up front and go through that. If you want to participate, today is the last Sunday for Christ's birthday offering, and you can set it in the back, and that'll go for missions. Let's see, what else? Wednesday night. Well, there's no Wednesday night this week. We're going to be counting down until next Wednesday, and we're going to have chicken parm. Salad. You got dessert.
We're celebrating Jonathan's birthday.
And we're going to celebrate Jonathan's birthday. I know he's actually going to be older than me now. No, he won't be. But I can tell him that anyway. But that's Wednesday, next Wednesday. So nothing this week, but we'll have dinner. We'll be in the second chapter of Nahum. We'll be studying that. So we'll be gathered back in here. Regular routine going on. Let's see. Giving tree in the back. We've been supporting the Enrich Christian Homeschool. There's still some more time if you'd like to. I probably won't send the information or things to them until after next week.
Next week will be the last.
There's stuff on the narthex table if you want to participate. We're going to bless Enrich Christian Homeschool. So it's been a good project for us. We'll see how the families. And we've also, in that, not necessarily part of the giving tree, but Beth and I had a chance to bless a family that we were talking about a little bit, a family of five children and mom and dad, and so we were able to do something with that, and we blessed them. So God is doing great things, and we're thankful for that. What else? When it says, if you have them, and you bought them, take them with you. We love the poinsettias, but they won't do much good in here. I mean, they look beautiful still, but if you have some that the bags are in the back, Beth will help you. If you've bought some, take them with you. If you haven't bought some, take them with you. There's plenty. We bought extra this year to make sure our sanctuary was decorated. So if you'd like, take them home with you. They're still in great shape. Just enjoy them. Let them bless your home. Until the leaves fall off, and we usually wait till about spring, and Beth and I have a big potter in the back of our house that we pot them, and they just continue to grow all year long. So let them bless your home, but take them with you. Next Sunday, we are going to de-decorate the sanctuary. So if you help us decorate it and you got some time, I'll make sure to grab some extra bagels or something to give you a little energy. But next week, we're going to de-decorate it. So the poinsettias will be gone, we'll take down the trees, the two wreaths and the tree in the back, and we'd like to get all the things put away, and we'll do that next Sunday after worship. What else? BethanyChurchofGod.org. Everything is there posted for your benefit. We're doing our best to keep the services live and active. We got through about 26 minutes this morning, so that was better than we've had, but those that are watching, we're doing our best to continue to bring it forth. We're going to seek out some other ways. We'll see how that works, and maybe we'll find another alternative to that. But we're continuing to reach out and bless the people. So other than that, during our prayer time this morning, we want to continue to lift up Deborah, who's away with her sister, and prayer for her. Nidra, Roxanne is at home recuperating. I'll just leave it at that. So we hope she's at home recuperating. Charlotte, who's shut in, we continue to pray for Suzanne, Judy and Jackie. Linda, I'm not sure, but we'll keep her in prayer. The multitude of needs. They're in your bulletins for information if needed. The next two songs, we're going to worship the Lord. So whether you want to stand, sit, however, we're going to worship the Lord. But like I said, next Sunday, Sheila's with us. She'll be with us on the 12th. She might be here the 19th, I'm not sure, but at least the 26th. So three out of the next four, we'll be doing traditional hymns and working through that. And Sheila will be playing, so if you enjoy her, come on. Tell everybody, bring them on. So let's worship the Lord.
Are you just the corner of wind? Is your burning way ahead? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Just a drizzle and all that's feeling.
We are glad, God, that we can gather in your name. Father, that the Holy Spirit is present in this place. And we just ask that that same Holy Spirit's power, same power that blesses the people in Kenya, will bless the people in Sterling Heights. It will bless the people in Troy. It will bless the people in Mount Clemens and Chippewa Valley and all across the state of Michigan. Thank you, God. We have a God that transcends all time, place, and space. We have a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're grateful, God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do and what you will do. Father, maybe we come on this Sunday in 2024. Maybe we're not sure what 2025 will bring. I know it brings us in your presence right now. Father, it's difficult to look ahead to what the new year has. Maybe, God, today is just a time laid at your feet, Father. Just simply say to you, God, whatever has taken place over the course of the year, Father, we just give it to you. We want to let go of it. We want to just give you this past year. We've gone through things, Father. We've been on the mountains and we've been in the valleys. But one thing is certain, Father, you've taken us by the hand. You said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, give us rest this morning. Give us your peace and your presence as we come in this day, God. For all those who are watching, whatever they're about to do today, God, bless the work of their hands. Bless those who are out busy. Bless those who could not be with us. But bless us, Father, in your Holy Spirit's peace. Just rest upon us now. Father, if our shoulders are heavy, Father, give us light loads today. Because you are a God who's lifted us up. Father, you are a God in whom we can stand on the solid rock and say that my God is the strength of my life. It is a tower that I can run to and find your safety. It is a God who in the midst of the storms will bring peace. Father, we're grateful for all that you do every day. We're grateful that we've celebrated Advent and the joy and peace and presence of God. Father, now we say that this same peace would transcend all of our understanding. Let us lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. May you direct our paths today. Father, I'm thankful for your blessings. Continue to pray, God, for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are sharing the message today. For the churches around our area, bless them, Father. May your Spirit be poured out on people today. Father, for Bethany today, pour your Spirit out upon us. Bless Charlotte as she is watching from home. Continue to bless her. Father, continue to provide healing and strength to Suzanne and Louie. Father, be with Deborah and her sister, Nidra. Be with them. Father, give them tenderness and passion, give them healing, Father, and your strength. Be with Roxanne as she recuperates. Be with Jackie and Judy, Father, that you're with them. Father, with Kathy, as she receives a diagnosis that she's not ready for, Father, walk her through the steps. Be with her. Give her strength. Father, be with your people today. Father, give us a moment. We can just hear from a moment that, Father, you pour into our life as we give back our lives to you. Father, we pray continued strength upon your church and upon your people. Father, that as we hear your message today, we hear you, God, not the world around us, not the chaos that is so evident, not the storms that rise up, but your presence, God. Speak through the storms. Speak through the silence. Speak through the thunder. Speak through the clouds, but speak, God. May we have an ear to hear and a mind to receive it. A heart to be open, to be transformed. May God, you bless all the things today. It is with your presence, Father. We speak these words. Father's 2025 embarks on us. We pray for our country. We pray for your presence, Father. Since I was researching this past week, for some reason about 1 o'clock this morning, God woke me up. About what was going on around me, I could not stop thinking about this message. Could not stop thinking about this year, Advent, and the whole time, and by 3 o'clock in the morning, I was in and out of sleep, and my mind was just filled with God's presence. We've celebrated hope, peace, love, holding on to that hope. But Isaiah shares a message this morning, those who bring good news. That first song we sang today was an old song, Our God Reigns. Isaiah talked about the mountains and the feet of those who bring good news. Well, there isn't a lot of direct quotes from scholars and theologians about this passage. There are many who've written about it. In just a moment, I'll share a quote from N.T. Wright. Let's read together the scripture this morning, Isaiah chapter 52, beginning at verse 6, a couple of passages. Your large print Bibles under your chairs, it's page 1144. But if you will, stand as we read God's Word together. It'll be up on the screen if you want to follow along there, or in the scriptures, on your phones, whatever you have that's available. But we're going to read Isaiah chapter 52, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, Isaiah writes, as a result of the things that are begun in chapter 52, verse 1, and we'll get to that in a minute. He said, there, my people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. May God have a blessing to the reading of that word. You can be seated. N.T. Wright wrote this word. He said, Jesus wasn't content to leave existing structures in place, to start up a nice, quiet, little faction, unobtrusive movement somewhere. He didn't want the rest of the world to go on with this idea of kingship while he started the sect, the separatist movement that wouldn't challenge that notion. What he was doing was far more radical. Not only was Jesus plunging to the ancient scriptural promises that God spoke of his coming back to the last king of his people and the whole world, he was insisting that his kingdom was of God, not this new reality. The heart of the good news was a different sort of rule based on a different sort of power. And that was designed to challenge the present powers of the world and to trump all others. God had prophesied long before the coming of Jesus through the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. God was speaking of something that was coming. And Isaiah's prophecy is about the coming one. And notice that he says, and you will know his name, and in that day they will know. There's something wonderful about this passage. And what we notice is two things, first of all, in that day, and they will all know. This prophecy relates to a time coming of Jesus and his name, but he's talking about a future time. In that day, they will all know. One of the things that draws my attention, something special about that good news. The beginning of chapter 52, if you still have your Bibles, we hear these words, "Awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength, put on the garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off the dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem, free yourself from the chains on your neck." What we see is a picture here. Isaiah is telling the people that, first of all, it's time to wake up. Wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. They've been living in squalor. They've been living in garments of captivity. They've been living in garments of anxiety. Garments that are sackcloth and ashes. And he's telling them it's time to rise up. The uncircumcised and defiled will never enter your city again. God is telling you to shake off the dust and rise up. What a beautiful picture we have. That he tells them you were sold for nothing and you'll be redeemed without money. What a beautiful picture of Christ himself, who you've been sold for money, and God will redeem you, not because of the cost, but because he loves you and he cares for you. Tragically, Jerusalem and many others went after gods and selling themselves. Yet he said you will be redeemed without money. And Isaiah 52 ends with this description of a great redemption, a cost paid by someone else, which is a direct picture of Jesus Christ and his life. We see in the beginning this idea, this general security and their drowsiness. You know, I can't help but think, you know, after Christmas, we all are taking a deep breath and going, you know, after all the activities and all the church services and all the families, and we actually, not that we like the quiet, I don't, but as soon as they walked out the door, it's like, what is that noise? It's kind of like, well, it's time to go put on the sweatpants and the sweatshirt, and it's kind of to just kind of chill back. And but imagine for this story, people of God are tired. 70 years of captivity, they're tired. They've been through a lot. They've been through the storms. They've been through captivity. They've been through the death of loved ones. They've been through some violence. They've been through a sluggish reign of the Babylonians. They've been through basically hell and back. And here, they're probably just physically and mentally and spiritually tired. Church, the first part of this text tells us it's time to wake up. He's telling the people of God, Jerusalem and Israel, he's telling them, and Judah, he says, it's time to wake up. He said, you've been in splendor, you've been in squalor, you've been captive, it's time to wake up. You know, for that message for you and I, it's a call to wake up. One of the first things that we notice is something special about the good news. It's time to rise up and wake up. And notice what Isaiah is saying. It's time that the enemy will no longer defile you. Shake off the dust off your feet. Rise up. Clothe yourself. Break off the chains off your neck. And go about it. But God has delivered a message not only present in the church of that day, and the people were ready to go back. They were ready to rebuild. They were ready to get multiple things back in their life. And God's saying, it's time to wake up. We come into the close of 2024. We've been destined with all kinds of activities, and we're tired. People are tired today. I don't know about you, but there's not enough coffee. There's not enough soda. There's not enough specialty water. There's not enough Red Bull. There's not enough energy drinks. There's not enough 5-hour energy. You can have all kinds of assortment of things to try to keep you awake. No dose, whatever you want. But God's saying it's time to wake up, people of God. If we've been in captive too long, it's time to rise up,
walk on the solid rock and know that He is alive and He's throwing off the sackcloth and ashes and we're running for glory for what God has given to us.
Amen.
And it's time, a call I put down here, wakey, wakey. It's time to wake up. You know, I remember when the kids were at home and they would want to sleep the whole day away. I'd walk in with a wet, cold washcloth. We had one family that visited us for a while, and they were up in the room, and we had the bedroom all set, and the door were closed, and we were down having breakfast. And oh, buddy, I got up into their room, and I wake up! They come out of that room just spitting mad. They were like, "Are you out of your mind?" Yep. God, remember, people of God, Isaiah is telling them, you've spent a long time in captivity. He's saying to you, it's time to throw off those old garments. You've been in the sackcloth of comfy clothes now. You've gone through the dress-ups and the church and all kinds of things, and you're just ready to chill. You've got that favorite comfy chair you want to get in. You throw back the arms, and you want to watch TV, and you channel scan. Come on now. You know, it's time to throw off the dress, the slacks, the work clothes, ditch the tie. You just want to get in those fuzzy pajamas. I know you. Some of you got those sweatpants that are three sizes too big, and you're like, this is good. You want to chill for the rest of the day. Here, Isaiah has given us this picture. Children have existed. Remember, they're not in regular clothes. They're in what they call sackcloth and ashes. Now, I don't know about you, but does anybody know what a sackcloth is made out of?
Burlap.
Now, if you tell me you want to put on a pair of burlap pants, I don't know about you, but I pick up corn in the summertime and it's in a burlap sack. It's kind of rough. Now, you've got to bear in mind, these Israelites are in burlap sacks. Now, how comfortable is that? You know, we're often told sometimes as guys that we've got to put on our big boy pants. Come up to the program, right? This whole idea, this burlap sack is made out of goat's hair. I don't know about you, but it's pretty coarse. It's like wearing a burlap sack. Well, why would you think Isaiah is telling them to throw off, put on the clothes? He's telling them also to break the chains on their neck. Now, here's a picture for you. They lived for 7 years with a chain around their neck. It gives you a good image of Paul and Silas in the jail in the midnight hour when they're in chains. And God, they begin to sing and to worship and praise the Lord and the chains are broken off. We sing the song, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. This whole idea, they've been captive. They've been held against their will. And it's time that they're finally free. And God's saying, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Sing and praise the Lord because it is a new day. When the guests are coming to your house, you clean that house. When the kids leave your house, you clean the house again. When they come in, you dress up and dress down. You dress up for worship, you dress down when you go home. Romans, Paul says in chapter 10, verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? How can you hear about something preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. There's something special about this good news. The call of peace, good tidings, and salvation. You hear Isaiah telling them, it is one that to proclaim in verse 7, how beautiful are who proclaim peace, good tidings, and proclaim salvation. And he says, our God reigns. Notice the messenger brought the news of Cyrus' proclamation of liberty to the Jews. He tells them all about it. He says, and both Christ and the apostles has been preached. And upon the mountain of the Gentile world, denote the idea that he's giving them good news. This heart of this whole message is about the application
implication of one coming who is on the mountain in the feet of those who bring the good news. Well, the question must be asked. It may apply to other ministers of the gospel, but what about you and I? This whole idea of the very feet of the one who brings good news. Now, we know that John was a forerunner, and John prepared the way of salvation. Well, what about you and I? Notice the feet are mentioned in this. I don't know about you, but a lot of you don't like people messing around with your feet. Come on, you'll go get those pedicures, stick your feet in those little bowls, and get them all nice and soft and clean and squishy, and Beth will come home with this new nail color on her feet and her toes, and you can't touch her toes for a while until all that settles. You know, after that, she's got these slippers with the little crevices in between that hold those toes apart so they don't mess up the nails. There's something about our feet. We keep them covered. We wear socks. We wear slippers. It's like your feet are not supposed to be exposed. And according to scriptures, the feet were dirty. According to customs, the feet were dirty. It's sandy place. You're wearing sandals. You're not wearing closed shoes like we have today. You're not wearing socks. They're open shoes, and they get covered in dust, and they're dirty. And this whole idea that they're dirty and defiled in some cultures, when they throw the shoe at you, they're defiling you because the shoe is dirty. It was customary for them to understand. And here we get this illustration, the feet of those who bring good news. This whole idea that men and others, what is beautiful is their walk, their conversation, that we can shod, that our feet might be shod with the gospel of preparation. You and I have been called to bring the good news, to deliver that news. Why with our feet? Because we are told that the feet is where we run and deliver the news. Your feet, your decks are important for us that we bring the good news. Today is a day in which you and I have a wonderful chance to share the good news with families, co-workers, everyone we meet. We're messengers like John, Jonah, Paul, Peter, James, Matthew. Maybe you're kind of like Zacchaeus. You're waiting for someone to confront you, and then you'll share the good news. But we are told that we are called to bring peace, good tidings, and salvation. This whole idea of peace and reconciliation, this whole thought of publishing good news, the mountains and the feet, you and I are called to proclaim good news. How will we do that? How will we proclaim the good news of peace? And here Isaiah says that our feet should be prepared to bring the good news. Now, I'm not putting my foot forward in somebody. I even don't like going to the podiatrist, and after you've been in your shoes all day long, you've got to take your socks and shoes off. It's like, Bob, can't you just give me a little while? Let me go get my feet cleaned up before I got to go in there? You know, the foot powder is not enough. But this whole idea, Isaiah is telling the people that your feet are the avenues by which you go, and you are bringing peace and good tidings and salvation. But Isaiah goes a little bit further. He said, the watchmen stand up on the tower. Now, if you remember the towers and the wall of Jerusalem, it wasn't just a little wall. You know, you think we make 4x6 walls or 4x4 walls or 4x8 walls. That's nothing. The wall in Jerusalem was 20 feet thick. People actually lived in those walls. And it gave a good connotation to the idea of being up on the wall watching. Why did they watch? They were looking for the enemy to come. They were proclaiming to the people around them of what was being prepared, what was coming in their direction. It gave them notice because they could see a far distance off. They were way up and could get a good perspective. What God is telling the people of Israel is that it's time that we watch. God is coming nigh. His salvation is drawing nigh. It's time to proclaim that we have peace. We have good tidings. We have salvation. Let the world hear that our God reigns. Of course, that's the next title. Our God reigns. The Levites in the temple are the prophets of the Old Testament, but the evangelists, the prophets, still shout the good news that God is sovereign. We don't hear that much anymore. When the approaching danger and the good news delivering the freedom, the word here is rendered the voice of the watchman They'll lift up their voice. They'll sing together the voice of peace and salvation. Here, we're giving this idea. Isaiah saying, who, say in Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen. Lift up your voices. Together they shout for joy. Now, this whole text gives us the idea of being up on the mountain of Zion, lifting up their voices for joy for God. Well, the good news is called to be a joyful noise. It's supposed to be something of great news for the people to hear. They profess the good news. This Shekinah glory, the kind that stood on the mountain of Zion to see and profess what God is doing. I love this, that we live in a world where they don't want to proclaim that God reigns. Got to keep that quiet. Even Facebook, occasionally, if you say the wrong things or do the wrong things, it kind of shuts you down. We want to be an okay generation. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I saw myself earlier, before Christmas, and I, a couple of people I wasn't sure of, and I wanted to say happy holidays, and I thought, what am I doing? That's not the God I serve. Yeah, I want to be inclusive, but I want to shout for all joy that my God reigns. It's the reason I have Christmas. It's because of His love for us. It's because of His birth. Yes, I want to be inclusive, but I also want to proclaim that my God is still reigning on high. Isaiah tells the people here, shout for joy. Well, if our God still reigns, when are we going to close the year? I bet you tomorrow night, when the Lions are playing San Francisco, I bet you there's going to be some noise in that arena. I bet you when Michigan plays Alabama, there's going to be some noise in the arena. I bet you when you're on the